Hello, everybody, and welcome to our third class in our Tshuva series. I just want to explain a little bit what we're going to be doing today and how I would like to divide the rest of the time that we have together. Okay, we said that this time period of Elul has three faces. It has the face of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, the closeness to Hashem, and that's really what we've been concentrating on for the past 2 weeks. We explained why that is a prerequisite to the Tshuva process. And really, through our two exercises, the exercise of the Nachas Ruach, and last week I added a little bit, I didn't go so deeply into it, but what I call the NLP style, action-oriented exercise. Just to add to that a little bit, I wanted to say that Rav Nosson Vachvogel, who was a Mashgiach in Lakewood, said that one of the purposes of the action-based, like doing something special, something a little different in Elul, is not just what we said before, like the jump-starting the system and the connecting to Elul in our own world and preparing for tshuva, but also that Elul itself has tremendous skulas hazman. It has, like, there's this tremendous koch, this tremendous power and spiritual energy related to Elul. And when a person does something little in Elul to kind of connect to it, a positive thing that he does to connect to it, he's zoche to all the special koach that Elul has to offer him. And that's why our little actions cause us to really, really have this like expanded kind of closeness. Rav Vachvogel's Lashon, as he says it called, he calls it p'tichat ha-moach. It kind of like opens up your mind and it widens your heart. And that's what Elul can do for a person. It can lead a person to be on a different level. And Rav Vachvogel said that this has to be done b'simcha. This is not just the, I won't do this, I won't do that, uh-oh, kind of a thing, but like something extra, something nice that I do, even if it's very little, even if it's, like I said, doubling your soup recipe or just doing something little that's like, it's a positive action that kind of expands me and makes me a little bit of a wider person. And through that, I kind of hold myself and connect myself, attach myself to all the special kochos of this month called Elul. And Rav Vachvogel used to tell his talmidim, do a little something and do it b'simcha. It's a happy thing, it's a positive thing, and you're being zocha to the closeness. Anyway, okay, so we said that we had to do this, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li is really the prerequisite for the next two stages. And the next two things that we want to work on, obviously, is the theme of Rosh Hashanah, of Hamlachas Hashem, making Hashem the king, coronating the king, and then, of course, the Kaparas Avonos of Yom Kippur. So really, I would like to help us work on this today. And how we, and again, I think that we felt that of all the different possible things, reasons why a person would not open up this gift called Elul, we said that number three on our list was the most likely for women, which is, I wish I could open this gift if only I had the time. And our being overwhelmed and distracted is a big theme and a big problem we have in Elul. And therefore, a lot of the tips that I'm going to give you are kind of like, you know, for people who are busy and maybe have a little bit of a hard time making the special time for this avoda, but things that a busy woman can do as well. So we're going to get to that today. Today specifically, we're going to focus on Hamlachas Hashem, on the concept of being Mamlach Hashem in Rosh Hashanah. For many women who don't get to shul that much over Rosh Hashanah, and the main idea in Rosh Hashanah is being Mamlach Hashem, what we want to do is we want to spend some time now before Rosh Hashanah working on this concept of Hamlachas Hashem and trying to get to whatever it is that we're trying to attain in shul. We would like to attain it, as we work. So that's what we're going to get to. And then the next 2 weeks after this, I really would like to spend on the Kaparas Avonos, on Cheshbon Nefesh, and how we do tshuva properly, and the type of thoughts we're supposed to be thinking as we're sitting under the tree, if we have time to sit under the tree, and that's what we're going to be doing. So the work today is going to be specifically on the Hamlachas Hashem, on how I work on that in my own personal practical life. And then the next 2 weeks, we'll be preparing for Yom Kippur specifically. Okay, what I wanted to do before I get to what we're doing today is to answer a certain question that I got It was a very good question. I don't know how many people here have thought of this kind of thing, but somebody wrote in that she has this like conflicted self-perception of herself and her community when it comes to like, how does Hashem view me? And she says that, you know, she lives in a community of people who really work hard in their Avodas Hashem and are growing, and a lot of people like really, really putting effort into working on so many aspects of their Avodas Hashem. So on one hand, you can see Hashem as being this like exacting, din-like king who looks at where we're not yet perfect, and everybody has imperfections, and therefore the focus is going to be on what am I doing wrong and trying to improve it, and that's like this kind of Hashem who's looking at those details. Or, conversely, is it that I should be really proud of myself? I'm a person who really, really, really works hard, and my loving Father is so proud of me and so proud of where I'm holding and so proud of the so many improvements and so many areas of growth that I've worked on in the past. And she says it leads to two completely different feelings, and how am I supposed to relate to that? What you know, which one is right, or is there some kind of a synthesis that's correct? And I think that that's it's a very, very good question. I would like to relate to it a little bit, that I think that in general, the time that we're in, I think in general for Jews, and specifically for Jews this time of year, we expect to be able to reconcile conflicting emotions, conflicting ideas. And there's so many aspects of this. You know, we say Avinu Malkeinu, we talk about our Father, connoting the loving Father, our King, you know, more of a concept of, you know, of judgment. And we're asked to serve Hashem with Ava and Yira, to combine this love and this fear together. I would like to add the concept of Din and Chesed, Din and Rachamim. We know that Hashem has Rachamim on us, but we also know that Din is coming. He's doing judgment. And I want to add a fourth one that's not so commonly spoken about, is the two conflicting values of she'ifa and histapkut. She'ifa is aspiration, and histapkut means being happy with what I have. And this is also like these guys, kind of, almost like a dialectic type of a battle that a person has between, well, do I aspire for more and more, or should I be happy with what I have? So here, I'm quoting from a sefer called Adam Be'olamo. I've made reference to it in other vadim, not in this vad. A very, very special sefer that brings tears to my eyes every time I read it. It was written by a boy who has unfortunately passed away in an accident when he was 21 years old. His name was Shlomo Karlinsky, Alav Hashalom. And after he passed away, his writings were found in his, you know, among his things. Everybody always knew that he was a very, very special yeshiva boy who was learning in the Tifrach Yeshiva in the Negev in Israel. And only after he was nifted did they find writings that were so unbelievably deep and mature for somebody his age. Many of the things that I write, that he wrote, and I quote from, were things that he wrote when he was 16 or 17 years old. And a book was published with all of his beautiful ideas, which is called Adam Be'olamo Mipinkas Sosha Ben Aliyah, beautiful, beautiful sefer. So here he writes about this kind of different forces that exist within a person that he has to reconcile. And he writes about she'ifa and histapkut, that a Jew always wants to grow and be better, and yet his growing has to be coming from a healthy place. And, you know, you could have two people who are motivated to improve and to do better in their Avodas Hashem. And they might look the same, and they might be equally, you know, motivated and sincere and growth-oriented. But when we look closely, we see a big difference between the two. And one person's growth is motivated by this constant nagging feeling of not being good enough, of not being good, of being defective, of you know, not being happy with himself. And this kind of person is trying always to achieve, you know, more and more, but he's trying to cover up for his uncomfortable feelings about himself. And it's kind of like somebody who's trying to fill up a cup, but the cup has a hole. And the hole is the low self-esteem, the low appreciation of self. So this person is running after shiurim and running after ideas and running after mitzvos and running after tikkunim and running after cheshbon nefesh, but really it's all based on a foundation which is shaky, a foundation where I'm never good enough, I'm never happy with myself, and therefore give me something else, give me more and more. It's almost like lahavdil, what people in the world do with alcohol and drugs, meaning trying to cover up for a problem. A person, in a sense, could use ruchnius that way too. And therefore, he's looking to grow, but his growth is based on this fact that he always feels defective and always feels he needs more. The other kind of person is a person whose growth is motivated by a desire to get closer to Hashem, which is based so beautifully, like this boy, Shlomo Karlinsky, says, it's based on Tamur Ukitov Hashem. It's based on the fact that I have Ruchnias in my life, and I love the way it tastes, and I'm so inspired, and so it has such a good time for me that I just want more and more. And this is a person who's proud of his accomplishments, proud of what he's doing, knows that Hashem is very, very proud of all of his many, many accomplishments, and yet that feeling, that good taste that comes from his ruchnius, that satisfaction that he has from his spiritual accomplishments, are what inspire him to want more. And it's such a beautiful description, but it's a very important difference. And I think that if that's an answer, I don't know if it kind of relates a little bit to your question, that this is the attitude that we have. The attitude that we have is that Hashem is very, very proud of our accomplishments, and that we should have a certain feeling of sipuk, of satisfaction with what we've accomplished, and being happy with what we have in our plate already. And yet, because we're so happy with what we have a she'ifa, we have a desire and aspiration for more. That's an important thing for a person to think about. And it's so important that our cheshbon nefesh also comes based on this, like, on the most practical level. I heard once of Noach Orlowick quote Rav Volba as saying that when a person does cheshbon nefesh, he must fill half the page, at least, with positive. We always think that cheshbon nefesh means, uh-oh, what am I doing wrong? What do I have to improve? He says cheshbon nefesh is also having a good sense of where you have improved and a good sense of where you're already doing well and a good sense of the kochos that Hashem gave you that you're using well. And this is all part of the cheshbon nefesh. Rav Orlowick went so far as to say that if a person cannot fill at least equal amount of positive as he does negative, then he should not be doing cheshbon nefesh altogether. He shouldn't do it. Because it's not about knocking yourself down. It's about being realistic and knowing yourself. And unfortunately for us as women, sometimes it's so easy for us to know our weaknesses, but we don't really know our strengths. We kind of like write off our strengths. Oh, well, that comes easy to me. That doesn't count. It comes easy to you. That's a tool that Hashem gave you. Universal Hashem, that's beautiful. Put that down on the list. This comes easy to me. I love doing this. Who says you're not getting points for things that Hashem gave you that you're using well? And Rav Volba says that oy to somebody who doesn't know his weaknesses, because then he doesn't know what to improve, and oy vavoy to somebody who doesn't know his strengths, because he doesn't know what his tools are for self-improvement. And our strengths are our tools for self-improvement. The areas that we're strong in, we can borrow from those strengths and try to use them to overcome our weaknesses. We can create a lot of positive, good, healthy self-esteem in our spiritual identity through our positive strengths, and that gives us the strength to battle the weaker sides in ourselves. But this is very, very important, this balance between sipuk and she'ifa. I am so satisfied. I'm like a full cup with what I have already, and yet she'ifa, but I want more. And, you know, it's very interesting because in the physical world, a full cup cannot fill up more. It's already full. But in the spiritual world, a full cup fills up more than an empty cup. And I'd like to quote you, the Gemara actually says this. The Gemara in Sukkah Mem Vav, Amud Aleph, says, Bo or eh, shelo ki midat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midat basar v'dam. Come and see that the way Hashem is not the way human beings are. Midat basar v'dam, kli rekan machzik, Malay eno machzik. In the physical world, an empty cup, an empty vessel, is what you can fill up more. Malay no masik. If a vessel is full, you cannot fill it up anymore. Aval midat haKadosh Baruch Hu, malay machzik, rekan eno machzik. Fascinating. In the world of Hashem, which means the world of Ruchnius, a full cup can hold and contain more, and an empty cup cannot. Very, very interesting. What does this mean? So Rav Chaim Freeland of the Sifta Chaim explains this very, very interestingly. He says, in the Gashmi world, a full stomach, you know, you had a good meal, you fill your stomach, there's no more room. You fill a cup, you can't put in anymore. He said, in Ruchnius, it's very interesting. People who are empty are too easily satiated. Meaning, you could have somebody who's never learned Torah in his life, and then he goes to one shir, and he thinks he already understood the whole Torah. The Torah is amazing, but I got it already. I got it. I can go home now. What are those guys doing yeshiva all day? I mean, I got the Torah already. He doesn't feel he needs any more, and he wants to move on. And yet people who are full in their ruchnias, who fill their lives, as this woman mentioned in her question, people who fill their lives with ruchnias, therefore gain a greater capacity to contain new levels. It's almost like the cup expands with them. The fuller you are, the more you want, and the more you have room for. And this is why the bigger, the Talmid Chachamim, who know so much Torah, are saying to themselves, oh, but I still have so much more to learn, and I want to know more, and I want to know more. And you have people like Rav Yashuv who filled, you know, so many hours a day for so many years. There was so much to learn, and they wanted to know more and more. So really, I think that the answer to your question is that the balance is that Hashem is so proud of all the wonderful things that we do in our community and all the beautiful growth and all and everything. And yet my desire to do more is not because the exacting king is standing over me and saying, uh-oh, but rather because my she'ifa is coming from, I love the taste of ruchnius and I want more. And I know that more is going to lead me closer to Hashem, and I'm proud of where I am, and I don't feel defective, and yet I have a she'ifa that comes off of tamu'u kitov Hashem. I have a taste of ruchnius, and therefore I want more. So if we can balance that desire to grow, to look at more details, even though we've accomplished so many, and if it could be done in a healthy way, I think that this is the mahalach that we're looking for. I love what I have, and I want more. Okay, I hope that answered your question. I'm not sure if I got it, but I hope it did, and you can let me know if it didn't. Okay, let's get into what I want to speak about today, which is the concept of Hamlachas Hashem. And I know that I still owe you, in the mashal of the gift, I still owe you the last two editions and some further explanation, and it's going to come along as we do the concept of Kapara and Tshuva. We're going to answer those as well. Okay, but now I'd like to start with the work on the preparation for Rosh Hashanah after we spent 2 weeks on Elul already. Okay, so let's go into understanding the concept of Hamlachas Hashem. And again, for those women who are going to be in shul, you will hear the concept of Hashem Hu HaMelech in different forms again and again. For those of us who don't get to spend so much time in shul, or who feel that we don't connect so much to the davening, or who would like to prepare for the Hamlachas Hashem, how do we prepare for this? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lamed Daled Amud Beis says, "Imru lefanei malchiyot, kidei shetimlechuni alechem." Say these malchiyot, the part of the davening that we say, "Kidei shetimlechuni alechem," so that you can coronate me over you. Now it's interesting. "Kidei shetimlechuni alechem" means that Hashem wants us to be mamlechim, to coronate Him over us. Now, what does it mean when a person makes Hashem the king over him? So the Altar of Kelm explained here very beautifully this Gemara. Hakavana b'timlechuni, she'adam tzarich l'hamlichoto, al kol evarav v'chushav. The Altar of Kelm says that Hashem wants you to be mamlich, to coronate him, to make him melech over all of your body and your senses. Meaning, when we have this big picture, we go to shul of about Hashem being king over all Klai Yisrael, over the whole world, all the nations, all the creations. The place that we start, because we can't really control all the nations and all the creations, but we can start with ourselves. And we ask ourselves, am I being Melech Hashem over me, over my body, over my senses? Is Hashem Melech over me? And Rav Olbe says that if you'd like to think about this a little bit before Hashanah, The place to focus on this is in Kriya Shema. We all know that when a person says Shema Yisrael, he's being Mamlech Hashem, he's being Mekabel Olmach L'Shamayim over him. Now, this is a difficult exercise, I must say, that I tried this with some of my live groups, and it's a little bit hard to do. So if you don't relate to this and it doesn't work for you, then you can move on to some of the other things we're going to recommend. But the idea being is that when a person works on the word Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad, the Rambam says a person could spend years just working on this pasuk. Now you're kind of thinking, it's a few words that I've been saying for many, many years since I was little. What's the big, what's so hard about this? But the idea of being Mamlech Hashem on you is not easy. And if you pay attention, sometimes there's even a little bit of resistance. Because you can get all emotional, inspired, Revolba says, and, you can imagine yourself being, Mekabel Olmach L'Shamayim, being Moser Nefesh. He says it's very interesting. A person could get all emotional about Shema Yisrael, and he could even imagine himself being Moser Nefesh in extreme ways. He imagines himself walking into a fire, Al Kiddush Hashem. He says, but then five minutes after he finishes davening, he doesn't have patience to finish the davening properly, and he kind of walks away, or he can't sit and do what he's supposed to do, or he says Lashon Hara when he really shouldn't. So his whole big imagination about being Moser Nefesh, being Mamlech, is really not so practical. It's up there in this emotional world, the spiritual world, where he's imagining these big, big spiritual things, but he's not really being Mamlech Hashem on himself, on his little daily situations. So the Altar of Kelm says that the place to focus is in Shema Yisrael. So when a person says Shema Yisrael, and we say it at least two times a day, hopefully, or at least once, if you don't get to daven, at least you say it at night, and your kavanah is, I am being Mamlech Hashem over me. And Revolba says this, and again, this is not an easy exercise to do. You could think about Hashem being Melech over the world, and you could think about which aspect of your personality or your challenges do you want to be Mamlech Hashem over at that time also. I want to be Mamlech Hashem over my mouth. I want to be Mamlech Hashem over my attitude. I want to be Mamlech Hashem over which aspect of me do I want to think about. Which aspect of my body do I want to be Mamlech Hashem over? And the person could think about this when he thinks about Shema Yisrael. We all know that we're being Mekabel Olmach L'Shamayim at that point. I could say, I'm making Hashem Melech over me. And if there's something that you're struggling with, then you're being Mamlechim over that part of you. And this is the place to focus on it. Okay. That is one idea. Depends if that will work with for you or not. Let's move on to another idea. And basically, I have six practical aspects to work on Hamlachas Hashem. One of them we just said right now is the concept of being Mamlech Hashem over yourself when you say Kriya Shema. Number two, Pasuk in Dvarim Lamed Gimel says, V'yishi b'shurin melech b'taseif rashei am yachad shiftei Yisrael. That the time when you can make a melech really become a king is when everybody gathers together, yachad shiftei Yisrael. We say in davening before Shemona Esrei, Yachad kulam hodu v'himlichu v'amru Hashem yimloch l'olam v'ed. That only when Bnei Yisrael are together, are ba'achdos, then we can be mamlech Hashem properly. And therefore, the prerequisite for Hamlachas Hashem is achdos among us. I have to tell you, when I read this idea, I learned this in the Altar of Kelm. And there was a note in the Sefer that I was learning that said that this idea was hanging in front of the Beis Medrash in Kelm, the original Beis Medrash in Kelm, of the Altar of Kelm, for the whole month of Elul. And it said, if you want to be Mamlech Hashem, you must work on being Ba'achdos with other people. If you and him and the other person are all kind of not connected, then we're not being Mamlech Hashem properly, because you need Achdos in order to be Mamlechim. And therefore, the sign that was in the base measures for Kelm said that practically, work on achdus with other people. And you could be smiling at somebody who's a little different than you, or giving a nice gesture to somebody from a different religious or a different type religiously than you. We are so many different types of Jews. We have Litvish and Hasidish and Sephardi and Ashkenazi and Haredi and Datilumi. And we all have to be Ba'achdos in order to be Ma'amach Hashem. So my practical avoda on Rosh Hashanah is, in some sense, to either think about the commonality that I have with these people, because we usually think about the differences we have between us and people, but to think a little bit about the Achdus, and to try to create some sense of unity, if it means reaching out a little bit to a neighbor who's a little different than you, or some nice gesture, because Achdus is the prerequisite to Hamachas Hashem, and this was the sign that was hanging in the Beis Medrash and Kelm for the month of El. That's number two. Okay, number three. Number three, we made a little reference to last week, but really Hamlachas Hashem is about accepting Hashem's Malchus and seeing and understanding that all outcome comes from Him. The Altar of Kelm said that the Hachana in Elul that we do for Rosh Hashanah from Hamlachas Hashem is a three-part Hachana. Mitov lo yetze ra. I'm sorry, that's number two. Number one, all outcome is from Him. He says, if you believe that Hashem on Rosh Hashanah is deciding so many things about people's health and people's parnasa and shalom and people's relationships and people's emotional realities, if you really believe that, we would see it on you that when something goes wrong in your day, you would realize, oh, that's from Hashem. If something is not working out of my parnasa and some money didn't end up working out for me that I wanted to work, Hamlachas Hashem is saying, right, Hashem didn't want me to have it. It's being able to see Yad Hashem in all the different aspects of my life, because that's part of being mamlechim. I'm mamlechim over my parnasa. I'm mamlechim over my health. I'm mamlechim over my shalom bayis. I'm mamlechim over the little details. If my shetel didn't come out the way I wanted it to come out, I'm mamlechim over that as well. And this is my preparation for Hamlachas Hashem, is the ability to be able to be mamlechim over different aspects and to realize that all outcome is from Him. Number two, according to the Altar of Kelm, mitov lo yetze ra. From good, Hashem, who's the ultimate good, nothing bad comes out of from Him. And therefore, it's looking at the circumstances in my life and the situations that I'm frustrated with or that I'm not happy with, that I view them as being bad, and being able to say that ultimately, even though it feels bad to me, I know that it's good. Now, this is really, you know, if anybody was part of my Bitachon series, we spoke about this a lot in depth about how to look for Bitachon in our lives. But this is like a short, quick, three-prong aspect is really being Mamlech Hashem over my life circumstances. So first of all outcome is from Him. Second of all, none of that outcome is bad, even if it doesn't feel good. And number three, according to the Altar of Kelm, is a line that anybody who's in my Ka'as Vad, in my Anger Vad, we dealt with this when we dealt with Savlanos, with patience. We said that there's a line from the Altar of Kelm, and I love this, kind of like a mantra. He says, L'haskim b'nafsho, Lizbol nigud ritzono. Let me say it again. Lahaskim benafsho, lizbol nigud ritzono. Fascinating. A pact that a person makes with his nefesh to be able to handle things that don't go his way. To be able to handle discomfort. When we spoke about it in my Anger Vod, we spoke about the fact that even on some kind of psychological level, when a person he prepares himself, like he makes, this is about making a pact before something happens. You know, this 3-day yontif with all the meals might not go exactly the way I want, and I'll be okay. It's like a haskama. It's almost like some kind of a contract that I sign with myself. Doesn't mean that I'm never going to lose my patience at all, obviously, but it's a basic contract of understanding that I can handle when things don't go my way. Now, I hope it's clear to you the structure of what we're doing, because I'm using numbers on it, 1, 2, 3, and then I think I just used 1, 2, 3 again. So let me just make it clear. We have six things that we're doing today that are practical for Hamlachas Hashem. One of them was the Kriya Shema exercise, of Kabbal's Hamlachas Hashem and Kriya Shema, especially over parts of my body and my senses. Number two was Achdus, as a prerequisite for Hamachas Hashem. And this is number three, which is basically bitachon, as a sign of my Hamlachas Hashem. This thing called bitachon has three little pieces to it, according to the Altar of Kelm, A, B, and C, of the three stages. All outcome from Hashem, B, none of it is bad, and C, a pact with myself to handle discomfort and things that don't go my way. This is the way I'm Mamlech Hashem. I want to say when I said the first one, that all outcome is from Hashem, from Him, I wrote in parentheses here, don't hold back any. Meaning, many of us have a lot of areas where we're willing to say, oh, that's Mishamayim, that's Mishamayim, that's Mishamayim. And then we have something that we just cannot handle that's Mishamayim, or that we just don't go there. That's why I brought the example of, you know, your Sheitel not turning out the way you want it to turn out. Sometimes it's something little, sometimes it's something in Gashmias, where we can get so frustrated. You know, I could lose a lot of money and I could be okay because that I know, you know, that money comes from Hashem. But like if my Sheitel doesn't come out the right way, that I'm frustrated because like I don't think that's from Hashem. Meaning, I think what the Alter Kelm was trying to say is that you're being Mama Hashem in all aspects of your life. That doesn't mean that we don't do shtadlus, that things could come out well, and it doesn't mean that we also don't have primary frustration. Sometimes your primary response is that you're frustrated, but then your secondary response is Hashem Hu HaMelech. He's the king. He's running the world. I'm not writing the script. And if I'm preparing to be mamlechim, I also should realize that being mamlechim means that things sometimes are not going to go my way, and that's okay. This is so easily said by me and so not easily done. But if I want to prepare myself, I say, like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, or I might get there and I might not connect to the words. I'm preparing for Rosh Hashanah by being mamlech Hashem over my situations. I'm mamlechim over my headache. I'm mamlechim over the fact that these meal that I have so much to cook right now, and I'm mamlechim over situations. And that's a practical mussar avoda application of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Lama Dalet. Imru lefani milchayos kadei shetim lechuni alechem. You have to be mamlech Hashem over you. You're mamlechim over your frustrations, your headache, your, you know, things that aren't going your way. That pact that I make with myself that I can handle things even if they don't go with my way, that's my hamlacha. That's me being mamlech Hashem over my life and realizing that I'm not running the show. Like I said, I don't think that we're going to change our behavior in 1 second. And everything that I'm mentioning today is little things that if you catch them and you catch it only once in Elul, it's also good. It's not like every time, you know, you're going to find 100 things that don't go your way because that's the way life is. And we might not be able to use all of them to be mamlechim. But if we get used to saying Hashem Hu HaMelech about circumstances that aren't going our way, it kind of like is a sign, Hashem, I'm being mamlechim really. I'm not just saying that I'm being mamlechim in shul, but I really am being mamlechim. I'm really coronating you. I really am giving you control over my life. Again, not to say that I won't try, but there's so many things that we try that don't work out our way. And it's being able to be mamlech Hashem over these circumstances. He's the king. He's writing the script. He knows what's good. He is doing good. And I have to just make a pact with my nefesh to be able to tolerate that not everything feels good to me, even if it's good for him. So if you could bring this down at all practically, it really could be very helpful, especially I think as we're going into a long 3-day yantif with so many meals. There's so many things on Rosh Hashanah itself that are frustrating. And again, you have to cut yourself the slack that your primary response to some things is going to be frustration. I think we've said before, anybody who's learned with me in other vajim, primary responses are not in our control. It's not, I'm not being Mamlech Hashem properly because I got a little frustrated. No, frustration and many emotional responses, the primary response is so quick and so not processed. It's part of my chomer, it's part of who I am. I don't necessarily have control over it. But then I have something called the secondary response. After I got upset or after I got frustrated, did I have something that calmed me down? Did I have something to think about? And this is where Hashem Hu HaMelech comes in. Right, I am frustrated right now. I didn't want things to go this way. I didn't want this thing to happen that happened right now. But Hashem Hu HaMelech. And please, Hashem, take my frustration right now and use it as an opportunity to watch me be mamlech you, because I'm going to be mamlech you over this frustration right now. Okay. Number four is a relationship between a king and an eved, and the eved Hashem shows hachna to the king. He shows some kind of subjugation, the realization that the king is in the center and he is following the king. Now, our problem is that when things are going well for us and we're going well, sometimes we feel like we're the kings. Everything is going well. Sometimes even in a nice way, we just feel on top of the world and everything is wonderful. And I don't feel like a little Eved right now. I feel like a melech. Whether that's a good thought or not is a separate thing that maybe we'll go into at some point. Some aspects of it are good. The real thing would be to be able to say to Hashem, even at moments that everything is going great, and in areas where I happen to be so successful, maybe even perfect, if that's such a word. I always think, you know, the mizmar that we say in Tehillim, the mizmar that we say right before Baruch Sha'amar. And there's one pasuk that says, "Hisarta panecha hayiti nivhal." If you would hide your face, I would be nivhal. I'd be alarmed or, you know, worried. Nivhal, there's a better word for nivhal, bahala, like kind of out of control, alarmed, or I'm not thinking of the right word. But basically, even at moments that everything is going so perfectly, we have to remind myself, Hashem, if you for one second weren't helping me right now, I'd be a mess. And that's a little bit hard to do at moments of success. But it's a very beautiful mahalach, which basically is the Bali Musa talk about, that the midah of anava, of being modest, of being subjugated, is a hard midah to work on. Because you don't want to break people's self-esteem and say, you're a nothing. Because when you tell somebody to be modest, you could end up breaking their self-esteem as well. And therefore, modesty is a little bit of a hard midah, not modesty in terms of tzniyas, but the idea of being an anav, of being humble. It's hard to work on the midah of being humble. There are a few different ways that a person could work on it. Rav Olba says you can work on it by asking questions to Tamid B'Chachamim, because then you show that you're not in charge, by listening well to other people because you don't necessarily know better about everything, by asking people's advice, by davening in a way that you show that Hashem is really in control. There are many ways a person can work on being humble. But I want to give you a very interesting idea. Most of us hate embarrassing moments. We hate moments where, we wanted, it was important to us to be put together and to show that we have things under control, and then suddenly nothing's under control. It could be, you know, a toddler having a absolute fit in a supermarket. It could be you in a public place where something embarrassing happens. You say something embarrassing or something embarrassing happens to you. It could be somewhere where you really wanted to excel and then it didn't work out the way you wanted. But the point is we have embarrassing moments. And most of us, in our embarrassing moments, we just feel very, very yich, like, you know, we don't really know what to do with it. And often in our mind, afterwards, we obsess, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened, I can't believe that happened, how did that happen, how did I say that, why did I say that, why did I do that? You know, we get embarrassed. And the idea, and I think this is based on the Sifrei Chaim, if I'm not mistaken, is that because we say that gaiva, the perfection leads to gaiva, leads to, you know, kicking Hashem, kivyachol chas v'shalom. Pasuk says, v'yishman yishurun v'yivat. That when Bnei Yisrael got fat, meaning fat from success, v'yivat, then they kicked. And therefore, very often when a person's in a very good place and everything's perfect, that's when they're most likely to say, oh, Hashem, I don't really need you. I'm the king here. Therefore, what comes to understand that if success leads to gaiva, leads to kicking Hashem, then the opposite is also true. Failure or embarrassing moments, not successful moments, lead to anava, humbleness, which could lead to embracing Hashem and to being mamlechem. Meaning, at a moment that things really didn't go the way I wanted to, and I'm really not feeling so good, I could say, Hashem, here I can access the reality that I'm not really the king here. I'm not really the perfect. There's only one source of perfect. And perfect is you, Hashem. Why was I even thinking that I'm always going to be perfect? If you think about why we get embarrassed sometimes because, you know, we think we should be perfect. And this was came out less than perfect. So we make excuses for our houses when they look less than perfect, or excuses for the cake that we baked that came out less than perfect, or the child is behaving less than perfect, or whatever it is that we're making excuses for. But if you think about it, there's only one perfection in this world, and that's Hashem. So when I take my moments of embarrassment, of imperfection, and I say, Hashem, I'm using this as an opportunity to remind myself to access that reality that you're the perfect king, and I'm your Eved, and it's okay. I had an embarrassing moment, but I'm accessing a deeper level of internality through that embarrassment. It's stripping me of my need for public approval, and so many of us need so much public approval. And therefore, even though we're doing mitzvahs, we still have this need for public approval, which is so hard to shun and so hard not to notice people noticing you or not noticing you. And then I have these embarrassing moments, and either they lead me nowhere and they just make me feel bad about myself, or I could use them to say, thank you, Hashem, for stripping me of some of the externality of this world where we all worship other people, our own perfection, or other people's opinions. Thank you for this embarrassing moment that stripped me of that public awareness thing, and now I know what it's really all about. You're perfect. You're the king. I'm the Eved. I'm not perfect. I don't need people to think I'm perfect. I'm an Eved to you. I'm a servant to you. I'm not a servant to public opinion. And only when we have these embarrassing moments can we actually access this deeper level of ruchnius of Hamlachas Hashem. I say sometimes to my perfectionistic students, I say, you know, having a husband and children will be good for you. It'll be murder for you, but it'll be good for you because they'll never be as perfect as you want them to be. And yet it will also maybe kind of in a sense release you from the shackles of your perfectionism, of needing everything to always be perfect, of thinking that if it's not perfect, then who knows what's going to happen. And that's like actually redeeming. So we use our embarrassing moments to be Mamlech Hashem, right? I'm not an Eved to society. I'm not an Eved to public opinion. I'm not perfect. I'm not supposed to be perfect. Hashem is perfect. And that's another way to be Mamlech Hashem in these situations. Okay. I'm going to have to stop to take questions soon. But two more. Try to use the concept, try to use the concept of Hamlachas Hashem when it's in a situation of anger and or jealousy. Okay, we had Avad already on anger, we had Avad on jealousy. Anybody who was part of it realized that for sure we always use Bitachon as part of the antidotes to these midos. There are many, many antidotes, but it's one of them. And when I'm jealous of somebody, something that somebody has, I'm forgetting that Hashem allots, Hashem decides what people have. And therefore my jealousy in a sense is a lack of being mamlechim, of being as a king, because I'm saying, I wish I had that car, or how dare they have something that I don't have. And really, I'm looking up to Hashem, I'm saying, Hashem, right, you're the king, and you decided that I shouldn't have that, or they should have that. So in a sense, jealousy is a good place also for a reminder of Hashem Hu HaMelech, right? He distributes. He gave me exactly what I need. Why am I jealous of what they have? And, you know, it's always easy to talk about the car. It's harder to talk about different, you know, important milestones in our life that maybe somebody else got there before us and we're kind of jealous of where they're at. We're not at that yet, and we hope to be there. But this is a great opportunity to say Hashem Hu HaMelech. When I find myself getting jealous, how come she has it and not me? I remind myself because Hashem gave it to her because he thought it would be good for her. And if he thinks it's good for me, he'll give it to me at the right time. Okay. Anger is the same way. We get so angry at people who are annoying and let's talk about people now. And the answer really is not, like I say, the fist. The lowercase h, fist, is why is he doing this to me? That anger, why is he doing this to me? And as soon as you capitalize the H, as I heard from Everett and Samet, and you look up to Shemayim, you say, why is he doing this to me? Meaning, why did he put this circumstance in my life? Why did he put this person in my life? You're being mamlech Hashem over your anger. You're saying, right, Hashem, you sent this person my way. And I'm trying to ask you, like, what would you like me, how'd you like me to handle this? Why did you send this to me? But the person in the situation will have their own din on them if they're doing something wrong. But the fact that they're in your path, in your way, is completely from Shemayim, and we can be malach Hashem over our anger as well. Doesn't mean that, I'm not trying to say that you're going to solve it. As preparation for Rosh Hashanah means solving your anger, you know, solving your jealousy, getting rid of all of it. But I'm saying that there are different triggers over our day that give us a chance to say Hashem Hu HaMelech. That's really what I'm trying to accomplish with this whole list here. I'm trying to get us into the hergel, into the habit of being able to be mamlechim in different situations. And anger and jealousy are triggers that could lead me down a difficult path, but they also lead me down the opportunity to be mamlechim, to say, ah, Hashem Hu HaMelech, right. Okay, that was number 5. Number 6, and then I'll stop here and take questions. Number 6 is accepting our avodas Hashem with love. I think that this is a big topic for many women who have aspirations in Ruchnius, that sometimes we would like to choose how we want to be Ovid Hashem. And, you know, it's Elul, and you'd like to daven more, and you'd like to have things calmer so that you could focus. And surely on Rosh Hashanah itself, we want our children to behave perfectly. We want everything to be, you know, set up so that we can have a very spiritual day. And yet, unfortunately, so often, Hashem sends us something that we don't expect, and some of us will find ourselves very steeped in mess and cleaning up messes and warming up food, or children who won't behave, or children who get an earache when I was supposed to go to shul and I can't go because the child's crying. There's so many situations where I wanted to do this for Hashem. I wanted to be able to ovid him with my sitter, with something else, and Hashem kind of gives me circumstances that are a little bit different. And here is actually an opportunity to be mamlechim. Because, as I once heard the mashal from Rabbi Akiva Tatz, when you get the job to be the eved in the king's palace, you don't walk over to the king and say, sorry, king, I don't do windows. Because you're so happy to be in that palace working. Whatever he asks you to do, you'll do. When I pick up my sitter to daven, and somebody cries and needs me, it's usually a frustrating moment. But my chance to be mamlechim is by saying, Hashem, you obviously want my avoda right now with this baby or this person who needs me, and not with my sitter, that's okay. Because wherever you need me to do, I'll do. And I don't say I don't do windows. So we have a chance to be mamlechim even over our ruchnius options. When we so much wish, last year I went to Slichos, wish I could go this year. My neighbor's saying, all safe to him, wish I could do. There's this organized trip going to go to some hospital, wish I could go. Sometimes we'll have a chance to do those things that we want to do that feel so spiritual. And sometimes we won't because Hashem will give us another conflict. But that's Hashem telling me, can you please do the windows? Sorry to compare your children or whatever to windows. But whatever's the less preferable form of voice Hashem at that moment, I have to say to myself, yes, Hashem, right, I'm working in your palace, and you're the melech, and therefore I'll do whatever you send me at this time. Okay, I'll just end with a little story about this. Actually, maybe I'll save it. You know what, first I'll take questions, and if there aren't any questions, I'll tell the story tonight, and if not, then maybe I'll tell the story next week. Just this whole concept about accepting where Hashem sends us in terms of Ruchnius and being ovid him through the circumstances. And by the way, there's so many circumstances. There are women who wish they can go to shul and find themselves nauseous lying in bed. People who, you know, have to be in hospitals with sick people on Rosh Hashanah or have some very not spiritual day. And this is saying, Hashem, you know, whatever you send me, I'll take it willingly. Okay, just to remind you, so the homework for today is really, I don't think we can do all 6 things at one time. It's not realistic. And the reason why I gave you six different ways to be mamlech Hashem is because you'll find certain resonate with you more. You'll remember certainly more And I wouldn't even say to look for all six, because it kind of ends up being sometimes we say tafasta meruba, lo tafasta, too many. So it's either going to be Shema Yisrael, or number two, looking for achdus, number three, accepting inconveniences, the bitachon that it's all from him. Number four, using embarrassing moments to be malachim. Number five, using Hashem Hu HaMelech to deal with anger and jealousy. And number six, using being malachim over the ruchnius and being able to say, Hashem, I do windows, meaning I'll, if you need me right now to take care of this instead of doing what I want to do, then I'll do it. Okay, and this is all really preparations for Hashem Hu HaMelech, for how to be Mamlechem and to come prepared for Rosh Hashanah. I'll be happy to take questions now. Please feel free to email in your questions. The next 2 weeks, in Rosh Hashem, we're going to deal with Cheshbon Nefesh and doing Din on ourselves. And that will be our goal for the next 2 weeks. Okay, are there any questions?
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much for the it's wonderful. And my question is that I think a lot of what will comes down to and Tshuva comes down to, we talk about, you know, closeness with Hashem and a relationship with Hashem. And I guess I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on how I think that one can be like very aware of Yom HaDin approaching and recognize that there's a lot on the line and have that fear. One can be very aware of the bracha in one's life and realize that it all comes from Hashem. And that doesn't all necessarily translate into, I guess the word I'm thinking of is like emotional intimacy, meaning if a relationship with Hashem is more than just kind of like these awarenesses and understanding how these things impact life, but really translating into an actual relationship. Do you have any thoughts about how that could be fostered?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a very good question. I think that it's also one of these, like when I explain in my body in the context of Chomer and Surah. So Chomer is that some people have it in their Chomer, in their natural composition, to feel Hashem, to feel close to Him, to feel His presence in their life. And you see that with Baal Tshuva, who suddenly pluck themselves out of, I don't know, Wall Street or whatever, and suddenly find themselves in this more spiritual, you know, searching. And some people are very spiritually inclined that way. They just feel Hashem's presence. For other people, it's going to be Tzura. Tzura means, how do I work on myself to get to something that doesn't come so natural to me? And really, Rav Tzvi Meir, when he talks about the Nachas Ruach, it's really based on, if you look at it on an interpersonal level, Rav Daspa tells us, L'asher yiten yohav, that when you want to get to love somebody and have a real intimate relationship with somebody who you don't naturally, you should give to them. And we always say, you know, it's a very basic idea that everybody quotes Rav Daspa these days in Kuntras Achazel, L'asher yiten yohav, which basically works against the way society works. I'll love you if you give to me. But Rav Dessler is saying, no, I'll love you if I give to you. And I think we all know that everything is from Hashem, and that's, you know, one side of the relationship. But as you're saying, it doesn't necessarily lead to intimacy because it's not based on what I'm doing for him. Rav Dessler says, L'asher yiten yohav, and he only talks about it among humans, but I'm applying it now to between us and Hashem, is that I will love you more if I give to you more, because then I am more connected. And I think that really that's why, I don't know, maybe the Nachas Ruach exercise is not working for you properly, but the idea is that I want to make Hashem happy. I want to give to Him. And then I will feel more connected to Him. Does that not resonate?
It does resonate. I think that much of our day can be with the idea of serving Him and making decisions according, you know, doing things, to, you know, that will enhance, you know, be Makadosh Shemayim and make, you know, fulfilling our tafkid in the world. I think that anyone who lives a from lifestyle, I mean, you think about, like even just brachos, you have this awareness at all moments and with your kids. And so I guess what I'm trying to figure out is, like, there are, you know, we live this lifestyle which is full of, maybe it's just a question of kavanos, I don't know, but certainly, like, at every moment of the day, we're trying to figure out what am I supposed to be doing now and what's the right thing to do. So mm-hmm. How does that work with, you know, I feel like Asher, the notion of giving and coming to love someone exists when, like, there's a real person, and then by investing in it, you come to, you know, to create those emotions. But when the question is, like, you're almost giving, but the you know, I guess the parallel is a little bit harder to understand when it's not that, like, he's there and I just have to do it in order to feel it. It's that he's there, but I want to even, like, appreciate that presence, you know. And giving is going on, but it's the other piece of it that is harder to kind of feel in a real way.
Yeah, I hear. I mean, I'll add a little aspect to maybe that would help you more. Rutsvi Maharaj says that the more mindful I am about what I'm doing for Hashem, and the more, like, kavan I have to make him happy, the more it actually does make Hashem happy. So I don't like to, like, humanize it too much, but it's not like making all the decisions based on what he wants and all that, as much as, like, you know, it's supposed to be like an intimate relationship. Like, you know, I do something and I feel like I handle that situation well, and then it's almost like I'm looking up to Hashem and saying, Hashem, like, you know, I give Hashem my thumbs up, like, did you like that one? Do you like how I handled that? You know, like, are you smiling at me right now by the way I handled that? Now, I don't like to talk about it too much because we don't want to make Hashem into my buddy, you know, but the idea is that there's something very personal going on. Hashem, you knew that I could have said that Shemona Esrei in 20 seconds flat because of the level of kavan I have right now and how overwhelmed I am, but did you like how I stretched it a little bit and made it a little bit longer? I mean, like he's the only one who knows all the intimate details of how you're handling a situation. Somebody else is looking at the Shemona Esrei and thinking that, wow, that's quite a quick Shemona Esrei she said right now. Let's say that somebody would be thinking that. Mm-hmm. But Hashem knows that based on where I am in my mind right now, that was amazing, that Shemona Esrei. You know what I mean? Or, like, you know, I'm very frazzled, very tired. Somebody's annoying me. And I dealt with them with less frustration than I could have, right? So Hashem is the only one who can measure and say, wow, thumbs up, look at you. You could have really lost it on that person and you didn't. You know what I'm saying? That's the intimacy. The intimacy here is that I have this, like, partner who so knows me well that only he can appreciate the little nuances of what I'm doing. You see what I'm saying? So it's not that I'm following a rule book as much as that there's this intimate presence in my life who totally gets me, totally understands the nuances, totally understands where I'm holding, what was hard, what was easy. And therefore, there's, like, a lot of this, like, looking up, smiling at each other, thumbs up, you know, good try, because that's where it's at. You see what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
I think so, yeah. I have to think about it more. But, yeah, thanks very much.
Some people that come so naturally to them, like they're born like that, for some people it's a little counterintuitive and they have to work on it, you know. But it is workable. It is workable.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, good luck.
It doesn't look like there are any more questions.
Okay, very good. Okay, good luck to everybody. And Amir Tashem, we'll pick up where we left off last week. I owe you a story about being Malach Hashem and about the Rabbi Akiva Tatz, I don't do windows thing. And then we'll go straight into Chashma Nefesh and Din Amir Tashem next week. Okay, thank you very much, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.